Okay, I think you guys are going to be dismissed. Is that right? They're going out the back or
the other side?
Yeah.
Okay, go out the back there. And let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 tonight. A little bit of unusual. We're taking a little break from the Psalms. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, just really just a devotional on prayer itself. And really, if we want to think about prayer, there's five words I want you to go away with this on your mind tonight. And it's found in verse 6, in everything by prayer. I just want to focus on those five words tonight, in everything by prayer. Let's read the two verses there, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. That'll be our text tonight. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you have those verses underlined in your Bible? If you don't, I would suggest those are wonderful verses to come back to. We were laughing. There's a pastor friend in Kansas. We were looking at one of his books that he was reading. And, you know, from time to time, you know, you want to underline books or highlight something in the book. We looked at this guy, and he had like several pages. Everything was highlighted. He said, if you highlight everything, nothing's highlighted. Nothing stands out, you know. So I don't suggest you underline all the verses in the Bible, but when you see a verse in the Bible that's underlined, it draws your attention back to it and reminds you. Now, I want to just ask a couple questions, kind of general speaking, and then we'll get down to this verse here. But let me ask you a question. Where should we pray? Everywhere. And anywhere, right? Anywhere. Is there any place that we should not pray? I can't think of one. I mean, even when we're in heaven, we're in the person of Him, where, you know, talking would be speaking in a form of prayer face to face there, I guess. Here's a question, and maybe this is out of the recesses of my unusual imagination, I guess, maybe, or whatever, but who was the person who was the lowest person when they prayed? Like, someone prayed, he was low. Yes, Jonah. Where was he? Bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Who knows how deep he was? Who prayed the highest? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Moses. Where were you thinking? Mount Horeb. Yes, Mount Horeb. Now, I didn't do my altitude to figure out if Mount Hermon is higher than that or if Jesus was ever up on Mount Hermon, but probably I'm saying Moses. He agrees with me, so we must be right here. Okay, so who had the highest altitude of prayer? How should we pray? Now, let's go to Matthew 6, just a reminder here. How are we supposed to pray? Well, the Lord gives us some guidelines. The idea there is not using vain repetitions. That's verse 7, yeah. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Now, you think about the prophets of Baal when they were praying, you know, on Mount Carmel, when they were praying and praying and repeating and repeating and repeating. That's the idea of maybe if we say it louder, He'll hear us. God doesn't need us to do that, to go over and over and over again. But He does give us a format. He gives us the Lord's Prayer. And this, I would say, this is the form for regular formal prayer. It doesn't mean we always have to pray that way, because we're going to talk about some other situations there where there was a desperate situation, and in the face of immediate danger, they didn't say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." You know, there were some desperate prayers. In fact, that would lead us to the quickest prayer in the Bible. What do you think the quickest prayer was? Peter, in Matthew 6:13, he's walking on the water, and he started looking at the waves. He started going under. He said, "Lord, help!" The phrase, "Lord, save me." Now, that was pretty fast. Also, I think there's another silent prayer in the Bible. Anybody, can you think of a silent prayer? We don't know they prayed, but surely they would pray. Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking about. Remember, he shows up before the king, and he's sad, and the king says, "Why are you sad?" And he's thinking, "Oh, no, you're not allowed to be sad in front of the king." He's like, this could be my last day. And before he answers, I'm sure there was a, "Lord, please help." A silent but very quick prayer of Nehemiah. But so you think about the different types of prayer. What is prayer? It's just, "Lord, I need something. I'm communicating with you. I'm coming to you for help. So let's look in Philippians chapter 4 and focus in on this, on these two verses here tonight, just in the minutes we have remaining here. Philippians 4, it reminds us, Philippians 4, verse 6, and be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. First of all, there's a negative aspect. That first part is not as easy as it is to say. That word, be careful for nothing. Don't be overcome by the cares and the burdens and the stresses of life. That's easy to say, right? It's easy to say that. You ever done something and somebody gives you advice that's hard to follow? You know, if you're watching a golf tournament, you know, say, get the ball in the hole. Well, it's easy to say that, but it's hard to do that. We know what to do, but it's hard to do this. But here is the command, be careful for nothing. Don't let that take over your life. But there's a positive aspect here in everything. Isn't that great? You have the cares of this world, but there's a way to handle that in everything by prayer. Think about this. What does in everything include? Can we give a list? We can't exhaust this list. Can you give me some reasons to pray in everything? Can you give me some in everything situations for prayer? Yes, Ray.
In sickness.
Good times. We tend to forget God in good times, don't we? In everything. In good times, yes. Gordon. When we're praying for our food. In everything. What else? When we lose our keys, yes. I remember my mom, she was dependent on the Lord. She did not know where her keys were. She's a widow, and she was in desperate need of no one else to turn to. Lord, please help. The Lord, I think, kept our cars running too as a grum. And I remember we'd left the mechanics going out, and I don't know how it was, you know, 9 or 10. And she said, my car doesn't sound right. I said, oh, Mom, it'll be fine. What did I know? 9 years old. She said, I don't know. Something sounds bad. So she turns around on Pleasant Burg. She's on, you know, it's a four-lane road, divided road there. And as we turn around to go back up, we look in the rearview mirror, and one of the back left tire came off and they didn't tighten the lug nuts up. And it came off the car. It started rolling down and turned and went down the hill. And I jumped out and chased after the tire, you know. So, yeah, I don't know how the Lord protected us through that. But somebody did some tire work and didn't tighten up the lug nuts. It'll be fine, Mom. You know, that's what did I know? But in everything by prayer, she prayed for her cars. I tell you that. Our cars were probably the best prayed for cars in the town. In everything. What else? What about relationships? Wanting one, trouble of in one, wanting to get out of one, whatever, you know. We used to have a time in college, Bible conference. I don't know if they called it drop ad week. Did you either add a girlfriend or you drop a boyfriend? You know, I don't know if that's, is that still what it's called? Oh, yeah, that's so. We need to pray about those things. Pray about career advancements. Lord, you know the Lord can work in a boss to promote. About family matters, about the future of the country. How many, if we stop griping and spent half the time we gripe in prayer, what would change in our life and in our country maybe? In everything, about the future of our country, about our building for VBC. We're looking for a building. You notice that? We need to pray in everything. About health concerns, as Ray mentioned. In everything. And then it says by prayer and supplications. Really, I think simply put, it's just speaking and asking. We're bringing our supplications. We're asking for something. We're not asking because we deserve it. I hope you never pray, Lord, give me what I deserve and I want it now. No, I hope we don't pray that way. We're coming to a God, a holy God that really we're coming because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we're bringing our supplications. And you know, I don't know if you've been, I find myself here many times, but when we come bringing our request in everything by prayer, we come, I don't know what I need to pray for. You ever been in a situation like that? Say, Lord, here's the problem, but I don't know the solution. Now, sometimes I offer the solution and say, Lord, I think this is what you need to do. And you know, he doesn't listen to me usually on that. He doesn't do it when I want him to do it, what I want him to do usually. But his plan is far better than my plan. So we need to bring the need to our Heavenly Father. And we can offer, I mean, the Lord doesn't mind us offering. Say, Lord, this is what I think you're going to do. Boy, this would be what I'd be great if you would do. But we're bringing the need before him. And then notice this next, the next two words. I believe this is in the direct sequence there. I don't believe there's a large amount of time that goes by. I believe this is all at the time. When we're overcome by the pressures of this world, be careful for nothing, but right away, in everything, by prayer and supplication, I think this has got to be a part included in this, with thanksgiving. You say, but wait a second, we haven't got the answer yet. I'm overcome by the cares, and I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord, and I'm praying that he will do something. And then I can be thankful when he answers, right? What would make us hesitate to be thankful before we get the answer from the Lord? Yeah, Amy. Yes, yes. Lord, this is what I want, and if you answer the way I want it, then I'll be grateful. I'll be thankful. But what happens if the Lord answers in a way that we don't want? Are we still willing to be thankful for that? That's the tough part. We say, Lord, help or I die. And he said, you know, he doesn't answer. Or he said, I need an answer by, you know, we put a time limit on. He doesn't answer by that time. Can we come in our prayers, say, I'm taking my cares to the Lord. I'm going to bring the need to him and put it in front of the throne of grace, and I'm going to be thankful. That's an attitude of, Lord, whatever. You know, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, let me be honest. I don't know if I'm there yet. Does that make you feel bad about your pastor? If I said, the Lord's going to slay me, and I'm thrilled about that. I'm not there in my spiritual walk yet. I mean, that's, but I need to be there. I need to be there. Lord, whatever you will do, I'm thankful for that. And then, by prayer and supplication, with thanks, yes, sir, yeah.
Before you go on there, that verse came to my mind in Romans 8:26. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings,
yeah,
which cannot be uttered. And I think of how often I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to ask.
And you, have you ever thought back and said, if the Lord answered some of my prayers that I really want him to do, it would have been horrible? Like, Lord, you got to do this. And if he'd done that, it would have been horrible. But he did it the way he knew was best. So, yeah, that's encouraging. The Spirit helps us in our infirmities. Yes? Yeah, Job is a tremendous, tremendous example to us. So with thanksgiving, so it takes faith. How do we know to be thankful if we don't know how he'll answer us? It takes faith to trust whatever his answer is, to believe that possibly pain is the best for us. I mean, because there are times we're facing pain, emotional pain or physical pain or whatever it is, and we say, Lord, I'm asking you, Paul wanted the thorn in the flesh to be removed from him. But he said, you know, your grace is sufficient. So it takes faith to trust that God's plan is best. But it's encouraging because it says without faith it's impossible to please him. So God wants faith. Faith pleases him. So it takes faith to have that thanksgiving. And I just want to just put it out to us tonight as for myself as well. Are you to that point in your Christian life where you're willing to accept whatever God's will is for your life? Now, is it possible? And this is where the rubber meets the road because I struggle with this. I mean, this is, you know, I want what I want. I'm praying for God to kind of twist God's mind to come to where I'm thinking, and God is willing to listen to us. But is it possible we've placed ourselves in a situation where we've resisted God's will for our lives, that we're going upstream against God? You ever thought about that in your life? You know, you've made choices and you're determined, you're my way, and just you're fighting for your way, and you find out that you're not going in the right direction. You're going upstream. God is trying to get us to a place where we're tenderly obedient to his word. Isn't that what it's all about? Us coming and saying, Lord, you're God. and I'm not. And I think that is the result. If you're willing to be thankful when you're in a crisis, look at the result in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I don't think that peace is going to come when you're still stubbornly resisting what God has for you. Am I wrong about that? The peace comes from knowing God is the one that's going to do this. And when we realize that, I think of the lady in the movie Sheffy, and they're moving the big organ, you know, and she's out there, you know, she's going along with it. Now, if that thing had fallen, she wouldn't have stopped it. That thing would have squished her, you know, but she thought she was the one keeping that thing up there. And sometimes we think we're the ones that's keeping this show on the road, and we feel the responsibility of the world coming down on us when the peace comes when we are trusting God with thanksgiving. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. There's an idea of guarding. It's the idea of a security detail that's been assigned to you to protect you. And you think about a fortress, could be a garrison like that, or you could think of an elite group of Navy SEALs that will not let anything get through to harm you. You know, that, and they say, well, if I walked around with the Navy SEALs around, man, I'd be tough. Man, I could pick fights with people because my friends could take care of business, you know. And we could laugh about something like that. But here's the peace of God that guards our hearts. It keeps our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. I don't think I'm overemphasizing the heart issue being our emotions. We have to guard our emotions, do we not? Allow the peace of God to affect our emotions. And we have to allow the peace of God through faith and thanksgiving to affect our thinking and our emotions. You ever realized where those two aren't going in sync? You ever thought something but your emotions didn't match up yet? Or maybe, or you know, sometimes you walk outside and you feel unsettled and you think, why do I feel this way? There's no reason for me to do that, you know, to be unsettled. My sister was telling me just last night, we were up seeing my mom, and she said she had read a story or heard a story years ago about a lady, an older lady in her bedroom at night, was sitting at her dressing table fixing her hair, and she saw in the mirror a burglar was hiding in her closet. Now that would be scary, wouldn't it? Now some of you are going to go, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a bad time. But she calmly sat there and started praying, and then she started praying out loud, and the guy came out and says, you know, my grandmother used to pray for me like that. Now, that's the peace of God, isn't it? That passeth all understanding there. But sometimes, you know, we feel unsettled, but we wonder about this. So anyway, our minds and our hearts will be guarded by God's peace. It's a peace that only He can give. And again, this peace is not, it's not, you know, sometimes we think, I want that peace. What do I have to do to get that peace? That peace is Jesus Christ. Having Jesus is having that peace. So that's the idea. If we don't want to be obedient and have a relationship with Him, we're not going to have the peace. And it's not something we want the benefits, but not the relationship. They go hand in hand. And it's our Heavenly Father that loves us. So how do we get this peace? We trust and we express thankfulness. And both of these happen before the outcome of the problem because God's the one in control. So, in everything by prayer. So we have that opportunity tonight. So let's take some time and let's pray. Let's pass out our prayer sheets tonight, if you will. Can I? Would you? Somebody be a okay? Let's. I've got.